Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
For yourself, really cool. So that's me. Anyway, let's get into this series. Where and how do I fit? One of the questions that we've been asking is that we want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to be engaged and involved with what we're doing as a church. And yet, in saying that, some people aren't aware of their spiritual gifts and what they are, what they mean. And so we see this particular series that we're starting here is absolutely vital, pivotal, crucial to what we believe we can accomplish in 2016 and beyond. So some of the objectives, I guess, if you like, of what we want you to take away out of this series over the next 3 weeks, things such as we want to help you discover how God's created you, want you to discover how God has uniquely shaped you to share his love with others, want to help you understand others so you can work together more effectively. And I think it's always great when you learn more about yourself, but when you learn how other people think and why they are the way they are, it enables you to hopefully kind of work with them better and obviously maybe even extend greater grace to them. And we want to inspire you to use your unique shape to serve and impact our church, your family, your friends, workplace, and the broader community. And so we're believing that what we're going to present over the coming weeks is going to certainly equip you in that way. So why would we do a series like this? If I asked you the very straight question, what are your spiritual gifts? Could you actually answer me? You don't have to answer that, but can you actually just go, yep? Or maybe you did one of these survey things 5-10 years ago, and I think it's really important that we revisit it semi-regularly, because in the ebb and flow of life, seasons change, things change. Sometimes our gifts and things can change and flow in and out. Another question, are you currently in your sweet spot in life? Are you passionate and love what you're doing? If you get to Sunday night, I was talking to Louise about this before, but if you get to Sunday night and you're thinking to yourself, oh, gee, work tomorrow, really? And it's constantly like that, then maybe, just maybe, you're not in your sweet spot. I'm not saying it's the only indicator, but like, you get my drift. It's like, are you more energized and you excited and are you passionate for the most part about what you do? I mean, the reality is we all have to take the rubbish out one night a week, right? That's not exciting. It's not sexy. It's not just, who wants to do that? You just have to do it. It's part of our responsibility. So not every aspect of what we do is going to kind of blow your hair back in that sense, right? But what I'm saying is, for the majority, there should be kind of like, I feel sorry for whoever doesn't get to do my job. And I can honestly say that's how I live my life. I wake up each day and I have this amazing wife next to me. And I just think I'm... That was Nat laughing, in case you're wondering. It wasn't anyone else laughing. Awesome, honey. But like, I just go to myself, wow. Like, I really feel sorry for people that don't get to do the pastor thing like I get to do. And other people think, God, I couldn't think of anything worse. You know, why would you ever want to be a pastor? That's ridiculous. And obviously we're going to go through, obviously we're all kind of shaped and wired a bit differently. But do you feel like there's more to know about who you are and why you are the way you are? Do you feel like you're being effective in how you are serving God at the moment? And if you've got a question mark around those questions, then this series is definitely for you. And if you are kind of comfortable in the zone of spiritual giftedness and things like that, can I encourage you not to switch off, but maybe there's somebody in this room that you can encourage and journey with over the coming weeks and throughout this year, so you can help them get into their sweet spot as well. Because guess what? It's not all about you or me. Anyway. See, as a church, I think, one of the things we believe in is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences of that that most people associate with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues. You know, I believe I'm grounded and solid in my theology as to why I believe in speaking in tongues. And my own experience has reinforced that for me. But before you freak out, I want to actually sort of say that baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just only about speaking in tongues. It is so much more than that. Not to belittle speaking in tongues, mind you, but there is so much more to it than that, because God desires to fill us with his Spirit, empower us, energize us, so that we can then lead and live Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lives. No, we're called to live this supernatural existence, but we can't do that in our natural strength. We need the supernatural Holy Spirit so we can live and lead supernatural lives. Are you with me? All right, cool. So stay there. Stay with me. So we've got this idea that God is wanting to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and he wants us to live Spirit-filled lives. For example, Spirit-filled lives can lead us into being open and receptive to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll come back to these, but also that our lives would be producing more and more and more and more and more and more in an ongoing way the fruits of the Spirit, as seen in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit should be growing and evident in our lives more and more. And yet the Spirit-filled life also, I believe, encompasses and takes into consideration the broader scope of God's gifts that he's given to the church that we see in Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll come to those later. So just lock those kind of passages away. See, our key passages when it comes to spiritual gifts are found in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, I would say, but particularly 1 Corinthians 12, we see in Romans chapter 8, and we also see Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. So there's this idea that God is wanting to come into relationship with mankind. He's wanting to fill us with his Holy Spirit power and presence. The Holy Spirit wants to guide and lead us through life, and the Bible teaches and shows us that there is particular gifts that he wants to give us. Anyone like receiving gifts? If your hand's not up, you're a liar. Seriously? There's got to be something that you enjoy receiving. But at the end of the day, as far as us as a church goes, we want you to be the right person in the right place for the right reason, doing the right thing at the right time. Gee, there's a lot of rights in there. Just can't get it wrong. We want you to be the right person in the right place for the right reason, doing the right thing at the right time. We want round pegs in round holes. I mean, you probably heard a little bit of Nat's heart and passion coming out there for the grommets. No, she's just the right person being in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time with these precious little, wonderful little peoples that, you know, an opportunity to influence and love them positively. In terms of a whole God sense. And it's just a beautiful thing. And that's what we desire for each of us, to find that place. To understand how spiritual giftedness works, I think we've got to keep in mind the bigger picture and how spiritual giftings fit into the bigger picture. See, God's got a big plan for the planet. He's got a big plan which is all about that none should perish. That he desires that all mankind would come back into right, restored relationship with him. And he has done that through giving his son, as we remembered at communion this morning, giving his son to die on the cross in our place, taking our place and taking our sins and wrongs and paying the price for that, being buried, raised on the third day, and then he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. So God's made the way for the restoration process to take place. And God desires that all mankind would do that. Now, the greatest tool that he birthed and created to implement that plan and to roll out that plan to humanity is the church. It's not the building. We are the church. So the greatest thing, the greatest tool that God has to implement his big plan is you and me. So, but how does he do that? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And what is Jesus talking about in terms of building his church, in terms of rolling out God's big plan? It's about using and equipping and empowering you and me to fulfill the purposes that he's got. So it's up to you and I to get on board this. And the thing I love about this is that each one of us is unique. Just look around this room. Believe it or not, there's no one just like you. I just think, when I look around this room, I just know God's got a sense of humor. That's a compliment, by the way. You can choose to be offended, but that's a choice. I choose not to be offended. But, it's just amazing how we are all just so different, like retinal scans, voice prints, fingerprints, footprints, all of that, all different. There's no two are the same. Like, no two snowflakes are the same. There's no two fingerprints that are the same. There's no one else like you. You're a one in a trillion. You're one in whatever is bigger than a trillion. I don't know. One in bigger than a terabyte. I don't know. You're just, there's nobody like you. I think you've got to understand your uniqueness, and that when God looks at you, he kind of shudders in awe because you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. And you might look at yourself and shudder in awe as well because you just think, I've amounted to nothing. I can't do anything. I mean, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Because God doesn't make mistakes. God has uniquely shaped and formed you exactly the way he wants you to be. I mean, you're not the finished product as you are right now. And that's an ongoing process that we all go through. But God has shaped and formed us all incredibly uniquely. Listen to this. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Job 10:8 says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me, an intricate unity." Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter, and all we are the work of your hand." See, you are just so wonderfully complex. Again, a compliment. You are wonderfully complicated. You are unique. The way you think, the way you laugh, the way you smile, the way you respond, react, the way you think, the way you see the world is just so beautifully and wonderfully unique. And I think that's amazing that of all the people in this room, that of all the random places in the world you could be, that God has drawn you and brought you here. Maybe you're just visiting and we'd love to have you come on the journey with us. But for the people who call Compass home, it just constantly spins me out of just the different kinds of people that God has brought together. I mean, I think it's just amazing. Awesome. And the thing I love is that we see in creation that God has created everything for a purpose. Everything fulfills a purpose in some way, shape, or form. I don't know why God created flies. I don't know why God created mosquitoes. But apparently if they weren't there, the ecosystem would collapse. So they're there for a reason. But we're all here for a reason. We all have a unique purpose. And God carefully chose and designed you. Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So before we're even born, God has got a plan for our life. He's got like this textbook map about the life of what Phil Brake could lead and live. And the same goes for you. And that's exciting. We don't have to wonder about, oh, what should I be doing in my life? God knows. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Oh, God knows. They'll throw their hands in the air. Oh, God knows. Well, he does. Next time somebody says that, go, yeah, actually he does. You're right. See it in the light. So God wants to use your uniqueness to share his love with the world. And something interesting happens when you use your uniqueness. Let's watch this video. If anyone kind of remembers the movie Chariots of Fire, if you've never seen it, you should probably watch it. I think it was from 1981, way back before most of you were born. Why don't you just watch this video clip and have a listen to what this guy says about his uniqueness. Did you catch that? Yep, good. Can you turn it up a bit, please? Thank you. If you didn't catch that, what he actually says is that God made me fast, and when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And that's what using your uniqueness is like. You feel God's pleasure. And we believe that you too will feel God's pleasure when you're doing the things that God has uniquely shaped and formed you to be and to do. And I'm going to hand over to Artie, and he's got some fascinating stuff for us to think about.
Thanks, mate. That is nice. I like. Do you know, whether you've been at Compass for since day dot, or whether you've been here for a short time, maybe this is even your first Sunday, every one of you has a place, has a part to play here at Compass. We don't believe you're here by accident. It's interesting when you journey with people and you hear people's stories about how they even come into our community. So often you can see how God's hand has been on that for a time, for a purpose, for a reason. And I think very much as we go through this series, the next 6 weeks, hang on to your hats, this is going to be exciting. Because this is very much about discovery. And I think it's going to challenge some of the things that maybe you've even thought about yourself for many years. And in fact, God may be here or speaking to you about some specifically new things that he wants to do in your life. So I want you to think about that, frame that in your thinking. But you still might be saying, as Phil said, what are my spiritual gifts? He asked that rhetorical question. So I sat there, I thought, I kind of know mine, but I'm prepared to accept that things have changed since I did that survey, since I looked at that over the years. So many of you might be still saying, well, where do I fit in? I enjoy Compass, I love coming, but what's my contribution? What's the part that I play? How do I find my sweet spot that you're talking about? Because if it's about giving glory to God, if it's about that, then that's kind of different than finding the sweet spot that purely satisfies you, that makes you feel good about yourself. I kind of figure that if we're doing that to the glory of God, that's giving us a tremendous sense of enjoyment when we see the impact that we have for Him. You might be feeling, and I know this is a story that many can tell, that you've been on church rosters for years. I know for our churches we've grown and we started obviously very small, that everyone mucks in, everyone gets involved, and you've picked up a ministry or you've got involved in something and thought, you know, this is not really me, but I'm kind of prepared to help out. I'm kind of prepared to do my best and assist, but really long term, this is not the person that I am. This is not really my ministry, but I accept that there's a time here that I need to be filling a spot. And I think we kind of want to, over the next little while, encourage you to think and dream a bit more. Yes, jobs need to be done. But we are trusting God that as we move on, as we grow as a community, God is providing the people we need to do the things we do. And if it means some things have to actually fall away, then that's a good thing. If that's part of the outcome. Because what we don't want is people on that line between burnout and dissatisfaction, where people are just saying, you know, I've had enough. I'm done. I'm cooked. Because, you know, that not only leads to that negative, cynical feeling that we can have, but it affects us and it affects the people around us. And it's not the way that God designed it. It's not the way He put it together. We certainly are responsible for good balance of our life between activity, between reflection, between refreshment, but humbly seeking after our spiritual gifts, the things that we're made for, is what the Christian life's all about, the part that we play. But I reckon I've often asked the question, well, what part do I play in knowing or finding out my spiritual gifts, and what part does God play? Like, is there some sort of sign that's going to come up somewhere that this is what you're meant to do, Artie? You know, this calling, you know, does it happen in like simple little circumstances or just a conversation with someone at church? How does God reveal that to you? I suspect He uses a whole range of things to affirm that in your life. So hopefully you'll be challenged with that sort of those sorts of thinking and that sort of opportunity. I want to make a distinction though, a clear distinction between natural talents and abilities, personality, traits, and spiritual gifts. They're all very different because we can tend to lump things together and say, well, that's a spiritual gift. So natural talents and abilities are part of our genetic and physical makeup. They can be learned and improved. We're born. So look, I'm very athletic. So some people are very cynical. We're all wired together a certain way, but you see an athletic physique and, you know, they're built that way for shot put. That's about it. But shot put. Personality traits, they're part of our emotional makeup and influencing social exposure. So when we spend time with people, our personality is much the same, but it is influenced. But spiritual gifts, and I wrote this out, are an ongoing supernatural impartation of specific gifts given to bring glory to God to build up the body of Christ, His church. They can be given for a specific calling, a specific moment, or a purpose that God decides. When we're obedient, when we hear that, He equips us for the task at hand. But, here's the but, if we abuse it or we make it about us and it doesn't bring glory to God, He can just as easy take it away. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is, in one sense, a uniting of us spiritually with the Trinity. God brings us together. It's a community. So you're listening. The spiritual gifts that you're using and utilizing to bring glory to God, to build the body, are part of that unification that God places in community. And then further on in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. I could point to all of you, and each one of you has a part in it. So the purpose, Phil talked about this before, the purpose behind everything we do in service to God here at Compass Church is to share the love of Jesus Christ in our world. Now that's our community here, the people around us at work, at play, in all areas of our life. I think sometimes we can think, you know, spiritual gifts about what goes on in our church, in this little community. No. You're equipped with your spiritual gifts in your workplace. If you work in the bank or wherever you work, whatever you are exercising for God's glory to bring the truth of Jesus' love to others, He's equipping you for that. If you desire that, if you're seeking after that, and if you're using that, remember, that message of Jesus' love should never change, but the method must always change. This is why gifts are so important and us seeking after them. Our society's values and focus, it's shifting all the time. Our culture is changing all the time. And the way we communicate the love of Christ must relate. It must change so that people are actually able to receive that message that they are seeking after. So it's really important that we stay true to the message, we stay true to finding, to expressing that in the right way, but always prepared. I say, look, I think I said this to my team, our Compass Catch-Ups team this week, no sacred cows, nothing that we have to hang on to because we've always done it that way. If we need to change something up, let's change it up. Because you know what, things are changing all the time and we need to be available and looking at, whether it's Compass Canteen, whether it's our working with our young people, our young adults, we need to be thinking always, how do we share that love of Christ with those people in our community? So a way that they receive it. But isn't it amazing that we don't need to worry about being someone else, comparing ourselves when we look at our own spiritual gifts? Because God gives you gifts that complement your natural abilities and your personality. But I reckon too often we think, well, I don't know, I'm not as good as anyone else, so I'm not as good as the person next to me, or even that my gifts sort of aren't the sexy ones or the upfront ones or whatever else. And we tend to think, well, you know, mine aren't as relevant. But when you look at that beautiful jigsaw puzzle of gifts that God has created, every part is important. There's no one part. If you took one away, the picture is incomplete. So if you have the gift of helps or discernment or knowledge, we're going to go through over the next couple of weeks all the gifts. And you think, well, I don't know, that's not really going to make much of a difference. It's going to make a huge difference. That's that uniqueness that Phil was sharing about. It's important that you understand how beautiful and unique you are and how specific your gift is important in the scheme of things. My beautiful wife, she came home the other day and she shared a story that had happened at work. And Joy's very different than me. She's not an upfront sort of person. So I'm going to ask her to come up and just share a quick story with you in a minute. And I really want you to give her a round of applause because this is a big thing for her up the front. We both share and express the love of Jesus in different ways. Joy's spiritual gifts are giving, hospitality and faith. And mine are encouragement, pastorship and wisdom. They're the ones that I've previously not been aware that I have and Joy being aware. When we share love, I love to sit down and just be a listener. I love talking to people and occasional coffee. I love just journeying and listening and supporting and praying for people. That's how I share. And that's how God opens up opportunities for me to share Jesus with others. Joy loves to bake a cake, cook a meal, make a cup of tea. She loves to be, was it Mary and Martha? Was it Martha out in the kitchen? Or was it Mary and Martha? She likes to be the Martha. When we first got married, because she's got the gift of giving, she wants to give everything away. And I had to really come to terms with that. So she loves to give money that she might have to people and just share herself. That's how she shares the love of Christ with others. So, hon, I'd love you to come up, just share this story that happened to you the other day. So give her a round of applause.
So he's Arthur and I'm Martha.
Comedian is not a spiritual gift, love.
It works for me. All right, so the idea of starting a conversation cold freaks me out, and that's why I wrote this out today. It's not common for me. I struggle to know what to say. I'm more comfortable serving and doing stuff than trying to explain what I think or believe. And he's already said, you know, I'd rather do something practical. So anyway, I was at work the other day and my colleague and I are in the van and we're bringing the boys home from a swimming lesson, which the first one I ever went to, I was sitting there, I'm thinking, I hope no one knows I'm with these guys because I was cacking myself laughing.
Joy works in disability care.
So this guy looked like he's trying to do a tumble turn, but he's just like working his head all the time. It was quite funny. So that's not in the notes. So we're coming home in the van and the guys are in the back and I just felt like I didn't hear a voice. This is not how God talks to me, but I just felt like he was saying, you've got to talk to your colleague. That's not what I'm good at. And he's pretty, your typical Aussie kind of guy. And so I didn't say anything straight away. And we got back to the house and I put my book on that I just finished on the bed, and it was a Christian novel, but it was about a woman who, she's a prayer warrior. And he's laying on the bed because he's stuffed and he goes, oh, what's this? Are you a Christian? Yeah. So he started telling me some of his story, and he said he grew up in church but he walked away from it at some point. He'd been married and he was mucking around and he'd really stuffed up his life. But he said, look, I'm a Christian, and he's trying to work it out with his wife. I felt quite honoured that he would share this with me. And I had to confess to him that I'd felt a nudge that I was meant to talk to him. And so I said to him, you know, look, if he'd confessed his stuff, God had already dealt with it and he was forgiven. And anyway, long story short, we had to wrap up because the boys were getting a bit restless. And but he said, "Hi, oh, I'd love to chat some more with you about this." And so I've thought about it since I got home. I thought that wasn't me. You know, that was God. He wanted to initiate it, and it happened on his prompting. And I was really glad that he used me for that.
That's great. Thanks, hon. You know, there's an example where we think this is who we are. We think this is how we operate, and yet sometimes God speaks to us about doing something different, and it takes courage. And especially if we think we're not that sort of person. And when Joy told me that the other day, I just was so blown away and encouraged for her that she took courage and was willing to just share with this guy. And that's going to have an impact. If she sat back and said, "Well, I'll bake him a cake," it might have had the same outcome, but she needed to step outside her previous experience. What a beautiful thing to know that you are so significant in God's eyes, and he wants to use ordinary people just like you and me. He doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves, but we've got to put his purposes foremost. If we want to hear from him and be obedient to him and know what the spiritual gifts are for us individually, then that's what we need to do first. If you know your gifts, that's fantastic. And as Phil said, it'd be great for you to be encouraging others who are discovering that, maybe for the first time. But I suspect that our spiritual gifts can change. And I suspect that God is actually going to, for many of us, start to challenge the things that we thought about ourselves, even the things we've discovered previously about ourselves. Because I think God's going to do some new things in our community. But it's very difficult to be persevering in ministry if you don't know where you fit, if you don't know what they are, because it just makes it harder. It just makes everything harder. I need to preface this by saying, though, that because something's hard, or even maybe right now in a ministry or even a work sense, you're going through a difficult time right now where you're serving, it doesn't mean you're not the right person in the right place with the right gifts. Doesn't mean that. There's a whole range of complex reasons, but I do know this. If you are walking that, God can use that right now to say something and speak into your life about that. He can encourage you in that place. Questions to ask yourself: is what you are doing right now giving you joy in contributing to God's work? So it's about God's work. Number two, are you really doing what God has gifted you to do? Let's see if we're going to be able to challenge that over the next little while. Four reasons. I've come up with four E's. Four reasons why God desires us to find our purpose in serving him here at Compass. Number one, it encourages us. I think it might be up there. Have we got it at all? Oh, ripper. It encourages us and gives us a sense of identity and distinctiveness. Gifts. Now, when you look at the way God called many of his servants in Scripture, they all came, most of them came kicking and squealing. They all came going, Moses going, "Look, I'm not the right man. I don't have the right gifts. It's not the right time." And he's even doing a runner, and then God's chasing him in various other ways. They all came kicking and squealing. "I'm not who you think I am, God. You've got it wrong. Let me just help you out." I often think, and I'm always a bit suspect when someone says, when they're asked to do something, we get involved in something that it's, "Oh, I've been waiting for this. I know I'm the right person. I've just been waiting for you to talk to me." Now, I'm not saying that's not okay, but when it becomes an ego-driven attitude, that really does alarm me. I love the idea when someone says, "I don't know whether I can do that." And you can see the fear in their face, and you go, and I think to myself, you know why I like that? Because I know that they're going to have to rely on God. If they want to fulfill whatever that commitment is, they're going to have to trust that God's going to come through. Because in themselves, they don't know how they're going to get up in the morning to do that. That's exciting. So, and what happens there? New ministries and opportunities start up. Because people start taking those risks that maybe they've never taken before. Second one, everyone shares the load. Community and team. I love community and team because that's why I love Compass Catch-Ups, because it's a sense of belonging. Everyone wants to belong. We all want to be part of something. And us discovering our spiritual gifts in our community is bringing us together. It brings us together. We look out for each other and it reduces burnout. I do want to say, though, that a wrong motive would be if you thought, look, I'm going to do this because I just want to do Compass people and God a bit of a favour, just to help out. That sort of attitude. I just want to say that that's not why you should ever say yes to sharing your gifts within a community if you think that it's about you doing someone a favour. It's about you participating in the work of God in our community. Number three, we experience what it's like to be in community with a single goal and commitment. We can see or we can achieve more for God's glory. Think about that. When we're all on the same page, when we're all focused, when we're all working together, there's a synergy that's just very, very exciting. I do want to say, as I said before, though, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you accept that you have spiritual gifts and that you are prepared to step out in faith, and for whatever reason you don't use those gifts as God has called you to, He's just as easy to pull it back. There's examples in Scripture of that. Look at Saul. He was given everything and he abused it, and God just took it away, and his favour ended up coming off him, which you wouldn't want to happen. Enthusiasm is generated as we support each other. The last one. I love this. Phil always used to say this to me. He said, Artie, I just want to do church with my friends and have fun. And I love that. Enthusiasm, whatever we do together, when we work together, we want it to be fun. Yes, it'll be hard and it'll be difficult, but enthusiasm and supporting each other and doing things together and enjoying it together is what it's all about. You know, it's like when you get your family together, if you've got good family relationships. If they're not, maybe it's your friends. But it's great when you get together with people of like mind and you enjoy it. And that's what it's about too. Vision Month is coming up. We believe God is going to speak to everyone here. It might be to affirm what you're doing, but it might be to do something new. Please come every week. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, good work.
Thanks, Artie. You are an athletic star, mate. We love you. Appreciate you. I am conscious of time. We're not going to go through everything that is in your notes, but I guess the context of you finding your spiritual gifts and knowing them is that we are all called to serve. Jesus himself said that he came to serve, not to be served. And that word serve is interchangeable with minister. So Jesus came to minister or to be not to be ministered to. And we're all called to serve or be ministers. And the great thing is your uniqueness and with your empowered by your spiritual giftings is that you all have a ministry. Every single one of you. Here at Compass, one of our foundational scriptures, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, is that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And that we all have a role and responsibility as being ministers as unto the Lord. And in your notes, you'll be able to see there that there is some key principles around ministry itself. Now, that's for you. It's not for the person next to you. It's not for some leader over there. I don't care whether you've kind of been a Christian for 5 minutes or 15, 20 years. Those principles are for you. We're all called to be ministers. And it'd be great for you to have a read through that and to really understand the important significance of a ministry role, but what that means for you and how you can take that on board. Because every single one of us has a ministry within Compass Church, but more importantly, I believe, outside of Compass Church. And so I'm excited for those of us that haven't been on this journey of discovering spiritual gifts. And if you go, oh, no, Phil, I don't have a ministry. I'm not good enough. I don't, you know, that's one of the greatest lies the devil wants to throw into your thinking, is that either you're not good enough or you've stuffed up, you've screwed up too much in the past, and he tries to heap guilt, shame, condemnation on you to limit you and to stop you from stepping into a ministry role. And like, that's just some of the thinking we want to break. Every single person who is part of Compass Church has a ministry role and capacity. When it comes to spiritual gifting, let's get into this. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. As your pastor, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to explore this. Some key things to remember about spiritual gifts, the Greek word charisma or charismata for the plural talks about spiritual giftings.
In Ephesians 4, the words doria, not diarrhea, doria and doma are used to designate gifts. But in this context, the person is the gift as much as the gift is the gift. All right, you'll read that in a sec. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Greek word pneumatica, whenever you hear that pneuma, it's in reference to the Holy Spirit, the ruach, the breath of God. So the pneumatica, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now let me just say, some people get confused with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts encompass more than just the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 outlines these nine gifts, and some people think that's what the spiritual gifts are. No, there's more to it than that, as you're about to see. So, for us to explore, because we don't want to be ignorant about them, spiritual gifts, we're also called in 1 Corinthians 12:31, earnestly desire the best gifts or spiritual gifts, the gifts that are going to fit with you, which means it's not a passive thing. It's not like a thing where you just sit back and just wait for some kind of buzz to happen and, wow, I just got another gift. Walking down the street, it's like, oh, yeah, come on. I feel healing coming on. No, it doesn't happen like that. It says earnestly desire the best gifts. So it's not a passive process, but we need to diligently pursue to seek to understand. You see, gifts are not meant to be seen as being exclusive and just for the special people. But let me just stop right there. God doesn't have favorites unless you want to be one. You see, sometimes we can look at people, oh, why are they so gifted and why is God like using them in like that way? Well, maybe just take some time to get to know how long and how much they seek God and are desperate, passionate for God to use them. If you think you can just sit back and eat a small farm animal with cheese and a tub of ice cream after that and just twiddle your thumbs and think God's just going to kind of endow these spiritual gifts into your life, it's not going to happen. But for those that are desperate, hungry and humble and just saying, God, however you want to use me, God, I'm just desperate to be used by you. God, I want to be one of those people. God, if you need a job done, I want to be the person. And so God never wasted a prepared man or woman when it comes to the level of hunger and desperation we have for seeking after God's gift. Basically speaking, in your notes right in front of you, you can see here that spiritual gifts can be broken into coming from three sources, as Artie alluded to. We've got God the Father, and I'm going to finish with this, in Romans 12, seven gifts there. So God the Father is the giver of life. He's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, that has made the way for eternal life. And God the Father, within our inherent tendencies that we have that contribute to each one of us being unique, there is these, what they call motivational gifts that we can have. So when we become a Christian and we invite God into our life and the Holy Spirit's resident in our life, the power of the Holy Spirit in our life magnifies and energizes those motivational gifts. The second one comes from God the Son, Jesus Christ, in Ephesians 4. These five gifts listed here in Ephesians 4 are called office gifts or the fivefold ministry gifts, which I like to think of like this, fivefold ministry gift. That's what I tell my daughter, sweetheart, if a boy ever messes with you, just use the fivefold ministry gift. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might and bless them in Jesus' name. We digress. Or they're called the ascension gifts. And that's where I said the person is the gift as much as the gift is the gift. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist are the ones that I'm referring to. And lastly, God the Holy Spirit, as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through to 10, there's nine gifts here, and these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these ones support and empower the other gifts, the motivational gifts and those ministerial gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts. Those ones we see in 1 Corinthians 12 empower, bring some power to those gifts. And on the back, you can read this for yourselves because you're smart people. But as on the back there, you will see clearly listed what those gifts are, what passages they come from. And in the final column, you'll see other gifts that are listed there in Scripture. Not specifically relating to the passages that I've referred to, but there are other gifts listed in Scripture through various passages that people can have. Some might call them just grace gifts. I mean, things such as celibacy, is a grace gift for, I'd imagine, a small, very small number of people, but it's a grace gift that is listed. But for me, if I'm going to try to define clearly spiritual gifts, I would take them from the first three columns. It's not to say that the ones listed in the other column are less than or not important. Of course they are. At the end of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, it's got administration is actually listed there. I think that should be a spiritual gift, clearly stated. That's just me, because I just know how hard it is to be administratively minded. But it's a gift. And so what we have here on the back is a list of gifts. And our desire is that you would be the right person in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, all for God's glory. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to give you every opportunity. So why don't you take this home, read over the key principles for ministry, because that's you and it relates to you, but also start to look at what the spiritual gifts are and read those passages and just start to pray and ask God, God, I really want you to make it clear to me for this season of life what my spiritual gifts are. No one can do that for you. You have to do that for yourself. And so next week, we're going to look at more specifically what the spiritual gifts are and how they operate and function and how you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. So we'll get into that next week. All right, so down the bottom of the page there, you can see where to from here. Can we just ask, don't miss a Sunday. Not because, like, you know, we just get pumped on numbers. It's like we really believe that this is really crucial to what God is wanting to do through our church this year and beyond. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we just praise you that you are such a generous giving God. You're the giver of life. You're the creator, sustainer of life. Father, you've given us your Son, and it's come through strongly in our worship communion this morning. And it's through you, Jesus Christ, we come into relationship with the creator of the universe and everything in it. Salvation in and of itself should be enough to satisfy our souls and ears. But God, you're such a gracious, loving Father that on top of that, you want to give us gifts on top of that. Wow. That is just a reflection of your heart, Father. Just like any loving, caring father wants to give their kids gifts. God, that's you. And as we go on this journey over the next few weeks, I pray our hearts, but more importantly, our spirits, our minds would be open to hearing, Lord God, where it is and how it is that you've gifted us for this season and the coming season that we're entering into. So Holy Spirit, we give you full reign. We give you full control. Have your way, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being in church.
Thanks
today.
For listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.